Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
This is our last sermon in our homecoming series. Can you believe it? You know, we set out a few weeks ago to teach us and to remind us what God's plan and expectation is for his home, for his family, for his church, and really to prepare us for the next phase of our journey as we come on home as a church. And so we've been focused on the book of Acts, looking at the very first disciples, the very first church. And let's read once again, starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love that last verse, that last sentence. It tells us that as the disciples were devoted, as they loved up on each other, as they prioritized God and his teachings, as they became the church and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, as they did their part, God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, it's been a dream of mine to be part of a church, a local congregation that sees daily baptisms. I want to see that in my lifetime. Every day somebody is being baptized. And that's fun. That sounds amazing. If you just take these few verses, man, church is awesome all the time. But it doesn't stop there. Sure, it's awesome until it's not. Church plants are exciting and fun until they're not, until issues arrive, until challenges come up, until they're faced with obstacles. And that's exactly what the first church plant had to go through. They had to go through their own challenges. And I love how the Bible highlights not only the opportunities for growth, but also the obstacles. Because for every opportunity that these disciples had to pursue their purpose of making disciples of all nations, they were also faced with obstacles to overcome. And today, I want to remind us that there is opportunity in your obstacle. That's the title of my message, Opportunity in Your Obstacle. And what we're going to do is we're going to read through the next few chapters in the book of Acts, and we're going to see how every time there was an opportunity to grow, they had to overcome an obstacle in order to become who God wanted them to become. And they faced obstacles both from the outside and from within, both from external forces, but also from within their own family of believers. And so we're going to start right there in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 3. The first obstacle from the outside, Peter and John had gone to pray. They come across this crippled beggar who's asking for money. And Peter says, I don't have money for you, but what I do have, I give you. Stand up and walk. And all of a sudden, this person is running around, jumping for joy, praising God. Everybody sees it. They're completely amazed. But Peter and John, they take the opportunity to preach the word, to preach the gospel message and tell them all about Jesus. And that's what they do. But guess what happens to them? They get some persecution. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. It was after the obstacle, after the persecution, that the number of men grew to about 5,000. I love how the Bible goes out of its way to let you know, yeah, this was the obstacle, but check out the opportunity for growth. What happens next? They rally around the persecution and they pray harder. They ask God for boldness to be able to preach the word. And more people decide to buy in, and more people decide, hey, we want to make sure that this church has everything it needs. So they start selling their possessions, selling land to make sure that everybody is taken care of. And then that's what leads to the next obstacle, but this time an obstacle from within. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And so what happens is when he walks up, he says, hey, this is everything that I got from this sale. And Peter's like, are you sure? And he's like, yes. And in that moment, he is faced with his own sin. And he drops down and dies right there in that moment. And then his wife comes in a little later, and Peter and asks her the same questions. Is this what happened? And she says, yeah, she lies as well. And she dies right there in the moment. Whew. Verse 11, it says that great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And you would think that people were like, whoa, I don't know if I want to serve a God that allows this to happen or kills people because they lied. But it was such a pivotal point in the church's growing, in the church's growth. And so this was the first obstacle like this from within. And God had to make sure that this church, this community stayed pure, because that's all they had in this moment. In verse 14, we read, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Obstacle from within, opportunity for growth. Go along in verse 17. Here's another obstacle from the outside. It says, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Once again, they're in jail. They go through it. They're going back and forth with these religious leaders who are jealous of them and persecuting them. And I love it because they stand their ground and they said, no, we got to obey God rather than men. But because of that, they were flogged. They were whipped, just like Jesus was whipped. Guess how they respond in verse 41? The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Whew. Go along to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. The very next verse, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. So here we see that again, that the church continues to grow in spite of the obstacles. But then we run into another obstacle, one from within. This time the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we got one group of people, the Greeks, that were upset because the Hebraic Jews were getting, their widows were getting food, but the Greek Jews, their widows weren't getting food. And so there was some issue, maybe some cultural dynamics in that argument, in that tension, in that conflict, maybe some language barriers, maybe some racism that was going on. And the apostle said, you know what, let's go ahead and let's appoint men that can help take care of the needs. The first deacons, men full of grace and the Holy Spirit, they were chosen so that the apostles can continue to pray and preach the word. So in verse 7, it says, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So after they appointed deacons and they worked things out from within, then this is the first time we see that priests are becoming Christians. And I believe something happened there for those priests that they were able to see that these people are for real. While the religious leaders that I know are constantly fighting and bickering, man, I see these people working through things so they can continue to help the people in their community, in their church. And I believe some of the priests were reminded of what they had signed up for, the opportunity to love their neighbor. But there's more in Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Right after this, there's an obstacle from the outside. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit had given him as he spoke. And so right after that, we see that Stephen, one of those deacons, one of those waiters, just a servant, was starting to preach the word and do miraculous things. And he gets in a debate with these other folks, and they start going back and forth. And ultimately, they seize him and they bring him to the Sanhedrin, and ultimately they stone Stephen to death. One of their own, the first man that was picked to be to meet the needs of these widows, to be a deacon, as they would call it. And now he's gone. Just like that, he's dead, killed by external opposition. You would think that this would make the church struggle even more, maybe break up, maybe get mad at each other. Why'd you let him do that? Why'd you appoint him? Why we could have saved him? But in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says that on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So it got worse. It got so bad that everybody had to be scattered. It says that godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So after Stephen gets killed, the church has to spread out. They have to leave Jerusalem, just like God wanted them to in the first place. And these disciples just preach the word wherever they go. And it says that they bring great joy to the cities. And here's when we see influential people become disciples. For the next few chapters, you learn about Simon the sorcerer, who was the biggest entertainer in that region at that time. Ethiopian eunuch. You have Saul, the very person who was dragging these Christians away to have them killed. He becomes a disciple, changes his name to Paul, and he takes on, you know, the gospel to the ends of the earth. But also you see Cornelius also get baptized, who opens the door for the Gentiles to now become Christians. It was in a pandemic of persecution that the church spread. We saw that in our own church last year as we had to spread out. We couldn't congregate. We couldn't meet together. And yet we continue to build our relationships and help people become Christians. We literally preach the word wherever we could, even online through our virtual church. And we have people that are now members of the Path Church, but virtually. And I want to encourage you, if you are part of virtual church for the Path, keep doing what you're doing. Keep preaching the word. Do what was done to you. You never know how God is going to use you where you are, no matter where you are in this country or in this world. Preach the word. Bring good news. Bring great joy to the city where you are. And let's see what God does through you. As I studied this out, it was clear that the resolution to every obstacle was growth. So when you pray for opportunities, expect obstacles, because there's opportunity in your obstacle. Every opportunity that we get to grow, every opportunity that God gives us to pursue our purpose, every opportunity that God gives us to live out his dream for our lives, will be accompanied by obstacles. but also with the strength to overcome those obstacles. I remember as we read The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson, I'll never forget the part where he talked about holy complication. And his whole thing was that the blessings of God won't just bless you, they will also complicate your life. That as we pray for growth, as we pray for blessings, those things that we pray for may make life a little bit more difficult. And that's what happened to the first century church. This vibrant group of young disciples, they prayed powerful prayers, prayers that shook the world and prayers that complicated their lives. But as they stayed united and overcame those obstacles, they continued to grow. You know, when we ask God for the opportunity to grow, we may as well ask God to complicate our lives. Now, that is a tough prayer, but a faithful prayer. Lord, complicate my life for your sake, for your glory. So when you pray for the opportunity to make disciples, expect obstacles. Expect life to get a little bit more complicated. Why? Because people are complicated. People with everything together don't become disciples because people with everything together don't exist. Nobody has everything together. When you pray for the opportunity to serve, expect obstacles. Expect your life to get a little bit more complicated, to be given the opportunity to serve a little more than you have first signed up for, a little longer than you first signed up for, or in a way that you had not even thought about in the first place. When you pray for the opportunity to get married, expect obstacles. Expect your life to get a little bit more complicated. You know, the truth is that when my wife married me, her life got a lot complicated. Her life got really complicated, and she loves me even still. When you pray for the opportunity to have children, expect obstacles. Expect your life to get a little more complicated, or a lot more complicated, depending on how many children you decide to have. You know, some of our folks, there's been some pandemic babies out there. They keep on coming. It might get a little complicated, but it's your prayer. It's what you want. It's what you're asking God for. When you pray for the opportunity for your business to grow, for career opportunities, for financial opportunities, expect obstacles. Expect holy complications. Why? Because there is opportunity in your obstacle. And the greatest opportunity is for us to grow and to become more like Jesus. Now, unfortunately, some of us get stuck in the obstacle. Some of us get stuck in the complicated, and we get frustrated because we feel like doing God's will should be easy, especially when we have good motivation, when we're trying to do good things for God and for His kingdom, and we feel like, why have things gotten more difficult ever since I became a disciple? Why have things gotten more difficult ever since God answered this prayer for me? And it's because there's opportunity for something greater in that obstacle, and that's for you to grow. Now, I saw a video recently that I got to show you of this sheep that was stuck in an obstacle. There was an obstacle. It was a barbed wire fence that this sheep was trying to get through. And it was just going back and forth, back and forth. Its horns were stuck in the barbed wire fence. And it continued to think that if I just push harder, then I'll get through it. No, there was no getting through that obstacle. It needed help. It needed somebody to come and help it, not to get through it, but to get over it, to overcome. Now, we can say that God that came and rescued, that's God. That is God. But you know what? That could signify God. But so many times God sends people. So God sends people our way to help us to get over our obstacles, to overcome. And sometimes it is obstacles from the outside, an external obstacle that we cannot control, a barbed wire fence that it didn't see coming. Sometimes it is that. But sometimes there's obstacles from within. Sometimes it's our own stubbornness that says, I'm just going to push harder and push harder. And there we are stuck in our obstacles. We're trying to do it by ourselves. Or it's our own pride or our own selfishness or our own insecurity. Sometimes we even fight the very people that are sent to help us overcome. come. Either way, we all need someone to help us overcome our obstacles. And God knows that. And that's why for us, for God's people, that's His church. That's the support system. That's the community. And I believe that one of the big reasons why that group of young disciples was able to overcome the obstacles that would give them the opportunity to grow, that's one of the big reasons, because they had each other. They had each other. So no matter if it was an obstacle from the outside or an obstacle from within, they stayed together. You know, as we pray to God for our church to grow spiritually, expect obstacles. Expect our lives to get a little bit complicated, because God's going to prune us. God's going to expose things, both good and bad. There's going to be obstacles from the outside. There's going to be persecution. We're going to be attacked, but there's going to be obstacles from within. We already have been experiencing those. We understand that's going to happen. But there's something even greater that happens when we unite to overcome those obstacles. Something that happens, and what that is that we become molded and shaped into becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And as we become more like Christ, God brings more and more people, because the Bible says that Christ will bring people to Himself. This building is an incredible opportunity for us to grow, but it has had its share of obstacles. And it's been tough. And so I ask for your prayers, as we are right on the brink of being able to have our certificate of occupancy, to be able to move into the building, to transition into this next phase that God has for us. And it's been hard, but it's okay, because the reason why I remember that part in the book Circle Maker is because I made that decision and I prayed that prayer, God, complicate my life. If that's what it means for our church to grow, if that's what it's mean for our church to have our own home and to be able to plant roots in a community and to see a community change and grow and lead more and more people to Jesus, then complicate my life. And, oh, He has. He has. But I tell you what, I haven't had to do it by myself. We've had an incredible team, and so many of you have stepped up to serve and to make sure that we're able to have everything we need as we go into this building. And for that, I say thank you. It's been a process. It's been tough. We've had to trust the process. But in this process, we've become more and more like Christ together. And let me tell you, I just got to say this. When we get the opportunity to move into this building, there will be more obstacles. All right. This isn't a finish line. It is a finish line, but it's also a new start. And so we got to be ready for the new things, the new obstacles that will come our way. But as long as we stay together, we will overcome and we will continue to grow, just like we saw in the book of Acts. You know, one of my favorite scriptures as we close out and go into our communion portion is Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I love this passage so much, because it reminds me of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus saw an opportunity, the greatest opportunity for all of us to be saved, but He knew that there would be an obstacle in the way. He knew He would have to go on that cross and die the death that we all deserve, but that He did not deserve. And He overcame that obstacle so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with God. And so though weeping may endure for a night, that night was a dark night. It was joy that came in the morning when He was resurrected, when He raised from the dead. And I believe that's what we're talking about here. That even in the midst of obstacles, there's opportunity for growth. And as we overcome those obstacles, we see that come to fruition in our lives personally, but also together as His community, His family, His home. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the love that you show us. Thank you so much for the opportunities that you give us to grow. And thank you for the obstacles that come our way as well. They don't feel good in the moment. They're difficult. They're challenging. They're frustrating, God. And yet we know that you're using those obstacles for our good to become more like your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his example, to be willing to go through the obstacles, to be willing to go through the persecution, through the torture, through the beating, through the pain, through the death, ultimately. But then to be able to rise again according to your power and your wisdom. God, thank you that in the scriptures we see the reality of the challenges that the first church faced, but also the result of what came from it, the growth that came because of it, and help us to hold on to that in our own personal lives and as a church. Thank you for this time to participate in communion, to take this cracker that represents the body of Christ, and to drink this juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sin. Help us to take this moment to really thank Jesus for all he has done, to pray for opportunity, to expect obstacles, and then to be grateful that we can overcome those together as we become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.